This morning, we're going to look at a familiar story from 1 Kings. One that if you have been in the church for long, at least, should be familiar. It's a story that comes on the heels of an amazing story. The story of when Elijah meets the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And there's a sort of duel that's set up. Who's God is the true God? And so they set up altars. You know the story. They set up altars. The prophets of Baal call and call, pray and pray. They even cut themselves to try and get Baal's attention. But nothing happens. And then Elijah's turn. He ups the ante. He dumps water all over the altar and the offering and the wood. And he prays, and down comes a fireball that not only burns up the offering, but the stones the offering was on. Now Elijah follows that up with what might strike us as harsh. He issues capital punishment on all those prophets of Baal. They're all killed. When Jezebel, Ahab's wife, hears of this, she sends a message to Elijah. Elijah, basically she says, on my life, you are going to be like one of those prophets of Baal by the end of the day. Now, you may think Elijah would be like, well, you know, my God just dropped a fireball out of the sky. I think I'll be okay. But what did Elijah do? He ran for the hills. So he takes off, he runs, and he leaves his helper behind at the boundary of the country and runs out into the desert, and eventually he finds a broom tree and he sits down underneath it. He's exhausted. He thinks about everything that's taken place. I think he's depressed, discouraged. He says, God, just take my life. Take me now, Lord, is effectively what he says. I'm no better than my ancestors. What does he mean by that? Well, I think what he means is that here he has been zealous for the Lord, done what the Lord has asked, and yet still the people do not turn to God. So Elijah's ready to punch his time card and be done. He wallows in self-pity for a while, and then he decides to go to sleep. Lays down under that broom tree, and all of a sudden he's woken up. He needs to eat. He finds some bread and a jar of water next to him. He goes back to sleep again. He's woken up again by an angel. Says, no, you need to eat. This journey is going to be too much for you. And so he eats some more. And then he runs some more, and he makes his way all the way to Mount Horeb, the mountain, the holy mountain of God, where Moses had received revelation from God. And he goes up on the mountain, he goes into a cave, still completely wrapped up in self-defense and self-pity. He spends the night, and the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. I don't know exactly what that means, is that audible voice or not, but Elijah got the message. And the message was, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Now, that question can take us in a few directions, like, that must mean he's not supposed to be there, right? Or perhaps also God just wants him to consider what is his motivation by being here, way far away from Israel, in this cleft in a rock. And Elijah answers, with a version of reality that is somewhat skewed, I think, in his state. He says, I have been very zealous for Yahweh God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to the death of the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. Well, scholars have taken a look at what Elijah says here. And indeed, Israel had broken the covenant. There had been some altars that were broken. There were maybe a few prophets that were killed. But the reality is we can't really corroborate everything Elijah is saying here. But he sure feels pretty bad and rotten, right? After he had just killed a whole bunch of prophets of Baal. And so what does God say to Elijah in this moment where Elijah's feeling defeated, he's feeling alone, he's fearing for his life? Well, God could have said, hey, Elijah, weren't you on that mountaintop, Mount Carmel? Didn't you see what happened there? Pretty cool, huh? So you've just forgotten all that now. And you don't see that I have the power to care for you. But he doesn't do that. Instead, God wants Elijah to come out of the cave so that he can experience him. So all of a sudden a powerful wind comes up. So powerful it says it's breaking rocks apart. But God wasn't in the wind. Then a mighty earthquake shakes the mountain, but God was not in the earthquake. Finally, a fire on the mountain. But God wasn't in the fire. I almost think that Elijah would have preferred that God was in those things. Because Elijah was looking for God to basically be dropping fireballs on everybody. Right? He wanted God to wipe out every adversary he had. But instead, what happens is God wasn't in any of those things. What was God in? All of a sudden, after the fire, it went silent. It went completely silent. And then we hear a whisper. Some translations say a still, small voice. Another scholar called it the sound of fine silence. And Elijah is frightened by it. And he puts his robe over his head and he comes out to the edge of the cave. And what does he hear? Not a new revelation or a new anything. It's the same question over again. Elijah, why are you here? And what does Elijah say? The same thing back to God again. Oh God, I've been so zealous. I've done everything for you. Everybody's after me. And again, we could have expected God to be fed up. Lose his temper with Elijah. Be frustrated that Elijah just didn't get it. But what does God say after Elijah responds again? He says, go back the way you came. He says, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael. Then anoint Jehu. Then anoint Elisha. God's message to Elijah was, you need to just go back to where I'd called you to be. God asked him over and over again, why are you here? Because this wasn't where God wanted Elijah to be. God had called Elijah to the people of Israel. Elijah was discouraged because the things that he wanted to see happening with the people of Israel were not happening. And God's response is, that doesn't matter. I'm still calling you to do what I ask you to do. And in Elijah's case, you want to know what it was? I'm going to send you to go raise up more leaders. I'm going to go send you to multiply more leaders who are going to do my will. And it wasn't long after that Elijah is carried up in a fiery chariot. So Elijah looks at all of this and he sees himself as a colossal failure, wants God to take his life, And God's response to Elijah is just take it one step at a time and do what I've called you to do. You don't have to do it all. You don't have to accomplish everything. You just have to be where I've called you to be and carry out what I've asked you to carry out. Brothers and sisters, that's a message that works for each of us too. I know many of us have known discouragement in life, right? Maybe we feel like God has called us to do something and we've done it and it wasn't the result we were hoping for. Maybe we've been so wiped out, burnt out, that we're just ready to say, well, somebody else can take care of this. I'm out. But the story of God meeting Elijah at the mountain reminds us that sometimes God just speaks to us quietly and tells us to carry on. Keep going. Keep doing what I've called you to do. Don't give up. And that's enough. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in thinking we have to accomplish everything for God. But God never asked us to do that. God never asked us to fix everything. God never asked us to accomplish it all. God just calls us to be faithful every day to what he's called us to. So I pray each of us can be encouraged by that this morning. Put things in perspective. Maybe you need a moment like that on the mountain to hear that still small voice. So if you are feeling burnt out, make time for quiet. Make time for silence where you can hear God speak. Let's pray. Lord, may we hear your voice speaking into our lives. May we hear it, may we heed it. May we be encouraged by it, even if it's not what we're hoping to hear, hoping to see you do. God, will you rejuvenate us, encourage us, recenter us, send us out again, even if it's back the way we came. In Jesus' name, amen.